So here we are in a major part of the practice is to recognize here you are. And to be here, to really be here, is to be aware. And it is a marvel that we are able to be aware of anything. That this amazing universe should come together in such a way in you that you can be aware. How often do we take for granted the fact that we're aware? What is it like to be aware? Today we're going to offer instructions on mindfulness of emotions. And that this amazing universe should come together in such a way that you have emotions is also a marvel. Emotions are a part of a rich ecology. Of how we live in this vast universe. And to bring this amazing capacity for awareness to meet our emotions. To know we're having an emotion is a marvel. And as I offer instructions for mindfulness of emotions, I'll review what I taught yesterday on the acronym RAFT. Recognize, allow, feel, and tease apart. So first, feel yourself sitting here. The weight of your bottom firmly on your cushion, chair, or bench. As you exhale, perhaps you can release yourself into that pull of gravity. So you feel your body, your legs, your bottom, your feet, in contact with the floor, the chair, the mat, the cushion. That provides a foundation for you to be here. And then becoming aware of how the body experiences breathing. Perhaps as you exhale, letting the exhalation, the body exhaling, relax, settle, almost as if the pull of gravity helps settle the exhale. Perhaps as you exhale, to let go of thoughts and concerns. Or almost as if the weight or the tensions of your thoughts and concerns can settle down as you exhale. The thinking muscle can relax. And to prepare, bringing mindfulness to emotions, suggest you do this small exercise, and that is to bring your attention into your right hand so you can feel the sensations of your right hand. Whatever contact your hand is making with your other hand or with your other parts of your body. Feeling the warmth and coolness that might be there in your hand. The tingling or vibration or pulsing. The weight or the softness or the hardness. And as you are present for the sensations of your right hand, notice how you're aware of it. Notice the quality of your attention. Are you straining? Are you hesitating? Are you searching or are you receiving? Do you have preferences? Are you for or against your hand, the sensations? Are you for or against this exercise? And see if for a few moments here you could have an open, relaxed awareness of your right hand, as if your hand has complete permission to be the way it is. And you can just have an open awareness to the experience. And see if you can get a little sense of what it's like to have a relaxed, open, equanimous awareness of the sensations of your hand. And now with the same kind of awareness, see if you can become aware of how you're feeling. Whatever emotional state or mood or mental state there's here for you. It could be subtle, it could be strong. See if you can recognize what you're feeling. Calm, agitated, patient, impatient. Happy, sad, delighted, annoyed. Worried, confident, confused, doubtful, clear, confident. See if you can recognize how you are, and then allow it to be with this kind of awareness maybe that you had for your right hand. Allowing yourself to feel your emotional state without being for or against it. Open awareness of how you feel. And then let yourself feel in your body the experience of your emotional state. How does it feel? How is it experienced in the body? So I'd like to make room in your body to really let the body feel how you are. Letting go of stories, ideas. Perhaps recognizing how you're entangled with the emotional state, So you can tease apart your reactions to it, your judgments of it, your preferences, teasing apart any complexity you have to see if you can move towards feeling the simplicity of the emotional state, just the emotion here in the present, just as it is, as if it's allowed to be this way. It can be helpful to have the experience of breathing be the center of mindfulness, the home base. But if an emotion arises that's more compelling than your ability to stay with your breathing, then you can let go of your breathing and calmly and determinedly you can recognize the emotion, allow for it to be there, feel it with respect and care, and as you get to know it, to begin teasing apart that which is extra, that's added to it, so we can better experience the immediacy and the simplicity of each emotion that arises. And when it's no longer compelling, you can return to the breathing. Letting mindfulness and concentration grow on the breaths that you breathe, one breath at a time. I think that many of you are aware that there are many different ways of practicing mindfulness or vipassana, and so some of you might have noticed that one of the ways that I like to teach it is with an emphasis on breathing, so that the breathing is like the home base, the default. It's not the best home base for everyone. Fine to do it other ways, and you can talk to Bob and I if you're interested in other ways of doing it, practicing. But part of the reason why I like to emphasize it is that the breathing is a wonderful experience that helps us develop together mindfulness and concentration, mindfulness and stability of mind, or a stillness of mind. And so because the mindfulness, the awareness, it becomes a much more stronger tool for us, a stronger resource for us, when it's combined with stability of mind, when it's combined with some degree of being concentrated. And so having something like the breathing, which kind of can do both, I think is very beneficial. At the same time, I think it's useful to be able to let go of the breathing if something else is more compelling, becomes more predominant. Because if you don't do that, if you're staying with the breathing, it's something, your knee hurts or you have a strong emotional response or something's going on that's really big, a sound in the room, then you can set up a tension between the attraction or the pull of that new thing and your efforts to be with the breathing. And that tension is not, you know, it can be useful. Some people will develop concentration by overriding that tension and letting it go. But I think it's for a kind of a fuller, more awake life, it's actually quite nice to let go of the breathing so you don't have that tension and bring your awareness to the compelling experience you're having and to feel it, to be with it. And then how you're with it is part of the game, part of the practice. So much so that I think I'd like to focus on two primary things in the present moment. What is happening and how I am with what's happening. What's happening and my relationship to it. And mindfulness is part of that relationship. And so how simple is the mindfulness? How complex is it? What kind of extra things do you bring along with the mindfulness? Is the mindfulness harsh? Is the mind, there's the whack-a-mole approach to mindfulness. You know, like you're gonna be aware of it and hopefully let it go away, kind of like shh. There's also the checklist approach to mindfulness. You know, like you're aware of something, you know, aware of it for a moment, recognize it, note it, done that, and then you're kind of like just, you know, like you don't have to pay any more attention now and just wait until the next thing happens, check that off. You're dutifully making a long list of checks. You know, that's not so helpful either. And then there's approach of kind of like savoring every experience, like, oh, you know, give me more. Or give me less, give me less. You know, greeting. So all these different things are extra. And the kind of the goal or the kind of what we're trying to come to with mindfulness is simple, upright, open, clear awareness. Oh, pain, joy. Not to deny anything, not to be cool about anything, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm so cool, I don't have to, you know, hardly be with it. But to really feel it fully, but not to kind of lean forward, not to lean back, not to struggle under the weight of it, not to get caught up in stories of it. Kind of a simple awareness. So emotions are an important part of our lives, and one of the remarkable things about sitting in meditation posture or doing walking meditation, it's generally one of the safest places to allow yourself to feel any emotion whatsoever. And you're allowed, any emotion that arises is no mistake, it's just what arises. And you don't have to deny it, you don't have to be embarrassed by it, but if you want to, you're welcome. You know, just all, you know, just allow it to come. And it's a very safe. It's kind of like very, like this is a place of permission. And then, so if the emotion is there and it's compelling, and if you're somewhat concentrated, compelling can mean it's not very strong, but just stronger than your stillness. Then you can, if you want, you can let go of your breathing and attend to the emotion. And it's a perfectly good place to be to explore mindfulness practice in emotional state. And then if it's helpful for you, you can think of the RAFT acronym, So to recognize it. And the power of recognition is phenomenal if we kind of get the hang of it. To be able to kind of almost like you can step back and look something right in the eye and say, I see you. There you are. There you are. I see you. I know you. And this kind of way of, there's a lot of freedom that can be found, or independence, in the power of recognition. Simple, relaxed. And then to allow. And again, this posture here is a phenomenal opportunity to allow things to move and to flow, and not to interfere or engineer. Settle into the experience. And then to feel it. And I think of feeling has a lot to do with physical. The more we can kind of open and feel how things are, emotions are being moving and being felt in the body, the richer they become, the fuller they become, the more they're allowed to process, to move through. And, you know, the word emotion has the word motion in it. All emotions want to move. And the E part of emotion means out. So all emotions want to move out. They want to move, they process, they... And there's this amazing statistics, which I almost can't believe, that some researchers have discovered that if you leave an emotion alone, no matter what it is, it doesn't last more than 90 seconds. I mean, that's kind of embarrassing. or something. 90 seconds. Less than 90 seconds for him. And it's just kind of, but I also believe it. And so this kind of allowing it and then teasing it apart means noticing how we keep it going, how we feed it or fuel it. This, and the primary way we do it is to have stories. And it's fascinating to watch how a story can evoke an emotion. It's also possible to notice how stories perpetuate it and keep it going. We're kind of telling ourselves stories. And of course, that's what the mind does. And that's an important area of mindfulness as well. But if you can tease it apart, so you see the story is one thing, and the emotion is kind of another thing, then it's easier to be present for the emotion in its simplicity. And it's a little bit easier to have the emotion without continuing to feed it. Feed it, feed it. Often the stories don't have anything to do with the present moment. So they're kind of a virtual reality. And come back to this experience here, here, right here. What is it? What's going on? And so this idea of teasing it apart is very helpful. I think it's very respectful for emotions, very respectful of ourselves, because it really allows us to see clearly what is actually in the moment-to-moment happening before the abstractions, before the reactivity, before the being for or against or whatever we do. And the beauty about all this is that it's okay to be all entangled. It's okay to not be able to tease it apart. And then you become mindful of, then you recognize this is entanglement. It's so entangled I can't even recognize what's going on. Confusion. I can't even know I'm confused. It's just all chaos. The biggest label, the biggest act of recognition that I know of, that I used, is chaos. I don't have any idea what's going on. It's just like chaos. And then I'm present, right there. And then I'm all entangled. Entangled. I don't like it. Okay, so that's how I'm entangled with entanglement. Can I tease that part up at least and just be this way? So emotions. I suspect you'll have a few today. So you might want to consider the raft, and it'll keep you from drowning. So we have the next round of practice discussion today with the second half of you. And Bob will be in room 1, which is right next to the manager's office in the big room downstairs. And I'm, if you go around counterclockwise, down the hallway with the elevator and keep going around counterclockwise. You come to room 100, where I am. And I hope that you have a wonderful day and settled. Last night. Well, no, I didn't do that. We would kind of like to ask that if you come for the practice discussion, it happens to be during one of the meditation sessions in here, that you don't leave and return during the meditation session. I think it's this point in the retreat, things are getting kind of quiet and still. And so it's nice to kind of try to keep this modicum of stillness here. So if you have your practice discussion during the walking period, just practice outside during that time. And otherwise, stay close to your practice today. Be intimate. Be in your little practice bubble. It's a beautiful thing you're doing and a wonderful opportunity here. May each of you be happy.